The Culinary Institute of America held its 2014 Worlds of Flavor Conference at their Greystone campus in St. Helena, California. 70 chefs and presenters and over 700 attendees came together for Kitchens Connected on how creativity, millennial appetites, and culinary science are furthering the field of food. Andre Chiang, Restaurant Andre, Singapore.
I was born in Taiwan. I left when I was 13. And I stayed 2 years in Tokyo, and I arrived in France when I was 15. So from 15 to 32, about 17 years in France. And then after that, I decided to move back to Asia and settle down in Singapore.
So talk to me about Taiwan. I just learned about that cuisine, but yeah. Tell people what Taiwanese cuisine is based on.
I'm not a master of, I left when I was little. But Taiwanese cuisine, it's, I would say, very much influenced in Japanese culture, because we were colonies 50 years under Japan. And so I would say that half Chinese and half Chinese cuisine with Japanese practice. Yeah.
So you moved around a bit. You worked in France for a while.
Yes.
Were you working in a culinary sense? Did you always want to be a cook, work as a chef?
Yes, my mom was a chef. So I started very young, since I was a kid. That's the only thing that I know.
What kind of cuisine did you cook as a child with your mother?
My mom cooked Chinese. So that's why I left when I was 13. I stayed 2 years with her in Tokyo. She had a Chinese restaurant there. But after 2 years, and I want to learn something different, so I decided to go to France. And then once I get into France, I realize that I really fall in love with the culture, with the history, and the cuisine. So that's where I start off my culinary journey.
Yeah, it's funny to have a Chinese restaurant in Tokyo. Did you ever think of having a Taiwanese restaurant in France?
No, because I don't know how to cook Taiwanese cuisine. Yeah, I know how to eat, but yeah.
But I mean, having another culture in another country.
Yeah,
you went to France, I'm assuming, to learn French cuisine.
Yes.
What were the first dishes, flavors that you had in France?
I arrived in Montpellier, in south of France, and that's where I started. And I really loved the city. In Montpellier, it's 2 hour drive to Mediterranean. It's very much influenced by Mediterranean flavor. So all the producer, we share the same producer as Italy, Spain, south of France, and that's something that I enjoyed a lot, and especially the weather, the food, the generosity of people in southern France. It's totally different.
So you talk about this Mediterranean culture. I've always been wanting to go to Lake Perpignan.
And, yeah,
but it, to me, or what I've heard, it's not really France. It's Mediterranean.
Yes.
There are all these other cultures.
Yes.
So did you feel like you were learning French food, or did you feel like you were learning international cuisine?
Mediterranean food, like I mentioned, it's very much French, but we share the same ingredients or the same cooking method as Italy and Spain. Mainly focus on seafood, freshness, acidity. It's still part of France, but that's where I stay most of my time. I stay nearly 10 years in Montpellier. So in France, you realize that, east, west, south, north, they all have different character in terms of French cuisine or what they think French cuisine is. Yeah.
Coming to learn French cuisine, did you want to cook only French cuisine, or did you want to be able to incorporate French methods into different styles of cooking?
That's the only thing that I learned That's the only thing that I know how to cook. So with all my careers, since I started as a chef, it's in France. Until 5 years ago, I decided to move back. So it's 20 years of careers in French cuisine.
So what are your comfort dishes? Are they harking back from when your mother used to cook, or from French classics?
I would say from French classics, yeah.
Which dishes?
In south of France, we have a dish that I really like since I was little. It's called barigoule. So barigoule, it's like a stew with artichoke, carrot, and white wine, butter, and a lot of herbs. So that's something that I like. It's a stew or broth or full of vegetables. Yeah.
Let's fast forward to Singapore, where you now have your restaurant.
Yes.
What is your restaurant called? When did it open? And what was the original concept?
The restaurant is called Restaurant Andre in Singapore. We're based at the edge of Chinatown. It's a small independent building. It's a house of three floor. Was built in 1922. It was a house. So first floor was the dining room and the kitchen. Second floor is the living room. Third floor is bedroom and library. So we kind of turned that into a restaurant. So the guests can sit at first, second, or third floor. So 30 guests only, no menu. You kind of feel that it's like open house. So some people are sitting at first floor or the living room, or some sitting in the library. So yeah, it's like a house party.
Did it feel like, you know, the French countryside stopping in a B&B? You know, like when Michelin Guide first started, it was about being able to travel and stay at places, not necessarily, you know, being able to walk down the street to a restaurant. Was that part of the idea of making it a place where people feel comfortable and like their own home?
For me, that when I first took over the house, it was a house, so I kind of don't want to make that into another restaurant. So I want to keep the character of the house and make it as you're coming to Andre's place. That's why I want to still keep it like really personal and intimate. When you walk in, you see a reading area and a sofa. You don't see tables and chairs everywhere. And also that I think it's very important, you know, although that our restaurant is really, really busy, but I kind of like to spread out the guests. So every guest, although it's a table of two or a table of 10, you have your own space. You're not 2 inches next to another table and you're kind of in their conversation the whole night. I think it's very important. So that's how we do it. And we don't have a menu. So it's like coming to Andre's house and Andre's cooking. So that's why I'm always in the kitchen.
What is Andre's cooking? What food do you serve?
In our restaurant, we call it an octo philosophy. So octo philosophy, it's an 8 elements represent 8 different dishes. We don't have a fixed dish, but these 8 elements is always there, such as pure, salt, artisan, south, texture, unique, memory, and terroir.
How did you come up with those 8 elements?
It's funny because before I opened the restaurant, I started to think that what is, I start asking myself, what is Andre's cuisine? What is Andre's cuisine? You know, is it everything that I learned the past 20 years, or I have an idea what is Andre? So I keep asking myself where I came from and what's my childhood memory. So and I go back and look everything that I did before, and I realize I don't have a fixed character. that can say that this is Andre. But I realized that this eight elements that I just mentioned keep repeating in my cuisine. I always have a dish that I don't use any seasoning, just simply produce just, you know, A plus B plus C.
Mm-hmm.
There's no salt, there's no... So that's the pure element. And I always have a dish that focus on the texture. I always have a dish that dedicate to the artisan. So I say, yeah, that's how I work. In fact, because when I look at a dish or I look at a produce, I don't think of, oh, how I'm going to do it. I'm going to fry it or I'm going to steam it. The first thing is I'll think that which elements that it fits in. Is it texture or it's artisan or it's memory? And then from there we develop and we decide what method or what component we want to work on the dish to make it present as one of the elements.
I'm just going to pick one element just because of the other chefs I've talked to today, texture keeps on coming up.
Yep.
Talk to me about a couple of your texture dishes and
sure.
How they were concepted.
This one of the dishes that I'm going to present here. It's a texture dish. So it's one of the dish that we did in our restaurant. It's a risotto dish with the squid. So it's squid risotto. The way that we do it is when we first started, we want to put a risotto dish in the middle of my menu. But the thing is, if you have a creamy, cheesy risotto, and that kind of fills up your palate, that you cannot continue for what is coming after, because your palate is full. So I was thinking, how can I do a risotto but still light? So what is in the risotto? You have arborio rice, you have cream, and you have cheese. You must have these three. So can we take out these three elements and still make a risotto? So we decided to do a risotto without rice, without cream, and without cheese. So we do, I used squid. We cut into exactly the size as of rice, as rice. And then we cook cauliflower puree as the cream. And then we use the shaved macadamia nuts as cheese. So we cook it look exactly just like a risotto, but when it gets put in the mouth, there's no any component of risotto to play with it. So that's our texture dish. So you will look just like a risotto, but there's no risotto in it.
So it seems like these texture modifications are natural cooking techniques. You're not doing much molecular gastronomy. You're not doing much, you know, scientific manipulation. Is that true?
There are a few dishes. I always think that molecular gastronomy is a cooking method. Yeah, it's not a cuisine. Yeah, so I don't. I use everything from liquid nitrogen to charcoal, grill, or hay, smoke. I'm very open. It depends on what kind of effect that we want, and to achieve certain. To use a certain practice.
Is there, aside from ingredients, are there new equipment in the kitchen that you use for certain dishes? You know, Paco jets are huge and proliferated around the world.
Yes.
Thermomixes. Are there new tools that you're finding help you manipulate food in ways that you want?
The latest tool that I got? The latest tool I got is the like a yakitori grill stand. So it's a charcoal grill stand. So recently we use a lot of real charcoal, binchotan charcoal grill, because you will realize that the charcoal grilled flavor, you have nothing or any modern equipment can replace that flavor when you put a piece of a protein, on top of it, and the oil drill down to the charcoal, and the smoke comes out, and well, that burning edge of the meat is, you have nothing to, no any modern technique can achieve that flavor. So yeah, we use a lot recently the charcoal.
Are there any modern pieces of equipment that have eliminated old processes?
I don't know. It's yeah, I feel sometimes we get too clean in the process, and you start looking for some roughness. And then you know, charcoal grill is exactly the thing that when you have everything perfect, then you realize that, you know, you don't want perfect. You want some, you know, burning edges, and you want that smoky smell to come out. That's something you cannot achieve.
Let's talk about another form of technology, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's a very small world now with the internet.
Yeah.
Do you watch what other people do? Are you influenced by other chefs as they post on social media?
I don't. Yeah, but I think it's for me, it's great to see that the movement or what is happening out there. That for me, it's a good thing to have, and also for people to know you better or who does what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you're cooking for a new community because of social media, and you know, people come to your restaurant after seeing it written about, you know, they read about it, and upstairs they're calling them millennials. There's a society that's grown up with international cuisine. How do you cook for the new community of eaters?
For us, I think nowadays it's really hard to say, this is Italian cuisine, this is French cuisine, because we use international produce from everywhere. And for me, everywhere I travel, I try to use as much as possible the produce from local, or the herb, you know, we forage and see what is around. And today I grabbed some pine and pine needles and hay from the corner, and you know, some garnishes from the back, and for my dish. So I think it's more of a character, and it's hard to draw the line that, okay, where is that come from? I think that's the way it is at the moment. And that's the way that I show, or that I do that, for cater to the international guests.
So terroir, obviously one of your elements.
Yes.
Do you think you can transport terroir? You know, you can bring local produce with you, but can terroir be had anywhere other than the place it's served?
Yes. It's the dish or it's the inspiration that from where you are, and it cannot be anywhere else but here. That's for me, that is terroir, that's from the soil. So if today I cook everything from the backyard, from potato to hay to, that's the dish that belongs to here. It doesn't go anywhere else. Or the flavor, it doesn't go anywhere else. It belongs to this place and at this moment.
That's why Café André, people have to come there to experience it. There's no takeout. There's no delivery service. They have to be in the space to do that.
Yes.
Let's talk about this specific dish that you're doing. What are its elements with the pine, with the hay, and what are you serving?
I'm doing scallop fondue. So we do a scallop. We make scallop like a creme anglaise, but it's a salty, savory creme anglaise, and cook it in a thermal mix. So it becomes thickened because of the protein, and it becomes like fondue, but it's no no cream and no cheese. So it's just pure scallop, and then with like fondue sticky kind of consistency. Then we smoke the potato. We cook it first in the dark fat, and after we smoke it with hay and pine needle that I found this morning. After that, we will wrap it with a very thin carpaccio of a scallop. Then after that, just like lollipops, and we just dip it in the creme anglaise, and on the top we'll put some wild herbs that we find.
Does that come from an experience, or does that come from creativity?
That come from, yeah, creativity. I just thought that, but that's a dish that I never done before. So I like that everywhere we go, we leave it open and see what we get there, and then we do it on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of the same thing we did on acid cookie roll that we mentioned. You kind of have no idea, you don't know what to expect, and you're right there and you get inspired and you just get everything formed along the way.
Have there been situations where you're just uninspired?
Yes, but we still have a palate. You might not get inspired by the look of it, but you can still cook a good dish. Even it's just steak and veg, and you can still cook a good dish. You might not get inspired on that day, but I think for me, you have to kind of practice it, and that's what we do every day. So for me, it's okay. We don't have a fixed menu every day. Every day lunch we have 6 courses. We change every single day. We don't repeat the dish. Lunch, because we have 15 courses, so we cannot change all in one shot. But every day we change 3 to 4 courses for dinner. So yeah.
Have you ever thought of eliminating element and replacing it with another word or idea?
No, because I didn't create this 8 element. This is from what I did before subconsciously. I didn't know that. I tried to find out what is the essence of Andre, and I realized these are the elements that keep repeating in every different period of me. So for me, that's natural. That's my thinking process. That's my creating process. So, yeah.
Are there specific taste memories per element? Like if I said pure, what dish would you tell me?
On the spot?
Yeah.
So strawberry and watermelon.
Those are pure flavors to you?
Yeah, because we don't, the pure for us is no energy consumption, no seasoning, no cooking. So just some produce plus produce. And I would say strawberry, watermelon, and tomato.
So it's interesting to hear that your creativity actually has very strict rules.
Yeah.
Do you think that helps a chef by saying produce something within these guidelines?
For me, that it's an idea, it's a concept. The reason that how we started, for example, pure element, is that I feel that nowadays we've been eating too much seasoning. And when was the last time that we had a piece of carrot without a dip or a vinaigrette or anything? No, you just need to go with something. Yeah. So we don't know that what the food tastes like. So my idea is that, can we have one dish just without anything? And you can have a very nice combination of flavor, but just no seasoning. You can have a nice pairing of flavor, like tomato, watermelon and strawberry, but just no cooking, just no, and you just want to taste the original flavor of a produce, and that was the idea. So I kind of force yourself that not to put anything for a certain dish.
Let's talk about the word artisan. What does it mean to you?
Artisans, it's the elements that I realize that sometimes the chef's ego just kills the intention. What I mean is that one time I was in Kyoto, I was meeting this artisan that sells aubergines. So I said, "This is beautiful. I would like to buy the aubergine." And he asked me, "How you gonna cook it?" I said, "I don't know. I might smoke it and I'll grill it." And he said, "No, my aubergines can only be charcoal grilled and served with a pinch of salt." And then he said, "Otherwise, I'm not gonna sell it to you." But he's not gonna see how I cook in the kitchen. But it just made me realize that, you know, when the chef would create a dish or have an idea, we never thought of how the farmers or the producers that they cherish their produce, or how they wish their produce to be presented. You know, so because, you know, imagine that, how bad it is if this beautiful carrot that goes into your hand and 5 minutes after it go through a juicer and nothing left, and to make a jelly or a foam or whatever. Yeah, so I would be very angry if I'm the carrot farmer. So that makes me think that I want to have a dish that I can dedicate to the artisan. I want to cook it in the artisan way. And can we have one dish that is not belongs to Andre, it belongs to the artisan? So there are certain dishes that I always ask the artisan, how would you like it to be presented? Because that inspires me, and I want to present it as original as possible. Of course, with our practice, but I want to present it in a way that they think is the best way to eat. You know, if this special aubergine can only be charcoal grilled with a pinch of salt, and that's the direction that I want to go. Yeah.
That's great. Perfect. Thank you.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more. Thanks for listening.